I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. We've been telling you all afternoon. We have a special guest. He is in town. And if you are a child of the 80s, 90s, or even the 2000s, then everybody know our next special guest. Many of us, he has to his credit a lot of great hits. But more importantly, he probably got a lot of children to his credit, too. Freddie Jackson, how you doing, my brother?
That is so true.
I know, right?
I get it walking through the airport. This is a tasty love, baby, baby. This is a you and my love, lady, baby. This is a rock me tonight, baby.
Absolutely.
So I go Maury Povich, and I'm not the father.
There you go. Good to see you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited about it. Of course, always coming to Atlanta.
Well, you're going to be on a great ticket. You got some great friends, Peebo Bryson, Howard Hewitt, and yourself.
They're friends. That's exactly what they are. They're my buddies.
Talk about this music career you've had. It has spanned decades, and you've given us iconic tunes. You Are My Lady, which stays in people's head.
Yeah,
I've been
humming
it all day.
That's good.
You know, jam with us tonight. Jam with me tonight.
Oh, yeah.
When you were making those records, did you think they would span decades and decades?
I wrote Jam Tonight in a bedroom sharing with my brother in the projects.
Wow.
Okay, and I was moving from New York City to South Jersey, and I found the actual tape recorder that I recorded Jam Tonight on, and the tape that you push, the tape recorder that you push both of them, that old, and the tape is really tape, okay? So I wrote that song. I was in a group called LJE, and our assignment was we were doing a dance for older people. So Paul Lawrence, who wrote Rock Me Tonight, said, I need everybody to write a song, something that people, older people can dance to. And so I went upstairs on the 19th floor in the projects, and I was in the bedroom, and I pressed those two buttons, and I started, tell me why you here. I thought of the slop dance, that old back in the day.
There you go. Look out now.
Used to do with that little tight dress on, and that's where Jam Tonight came from. And of course, You and My Lady came from Brooklyn from Mr. Barry Eastman, and he now lives in a big house, but that song was written in a small apartment on a Casio up against a wall. So just to say, little things, big things can come out of little places.
No doubt. Yeah. Talk about the foundation of your music, because, you know, most R&B singers start, when you got that kind of soul, start in the church. That's kind of your story as well.
I started as a church soloist every single Sunday.
Well, now, what church was it, what were you singing?
I was singing at the Mount, I grew up, all of my mother's children, the Mount Nebo Baptist Church on 7th Street and 8th Avenue, blocks away from the Apollo Theater. And every Sunday, the minister would have me to sing a solo just before he got up to do his sermon.
The song of preparation, he wants you to get ready for
Lord,
they can
take my hand or walk around heaven all day. Classic hymns, songs. And by the time I got finished, they was ready to throw a lot of money in the place.
There you go. There you go. You better watch out. He'll be calling you back to come do it again now.
Well, yeah. I sing for free for God.
There you go. Music is such a part of your life. You got a new project out?
Yeah, I have a new album out. Love Signals is the name of the album. I'm also currently in the studio working on my very first all-produced, all-written CD in 3 decades, finally, I decided to sing my own melodies. So, yes, I have a new album out. Very happy about it. It's doing well. It's doing what albums of artists of my genre are doing today. You know, everything is such a fast pace. But it's reminiscent of Rock Me Tonight, if you know what that album was like, the Love Signals album really is the takeoff of that, and I'm very proud of it.
What makes you get up in the morning and want to do this music? I mean, you know, you got some of the classic, iconic hits, and you can say, hey, I can rest and know that my body of work is going to be here long, long, long after you're not here. I mean, but what makes you want to get up every morning and do something new?
Well, I'll be back in Atlanta, and I'm going to be receiving the Black Music Awards. They're honoring me as a legendary. The Lifetime Award, and what an honor when I know that after 3 decades that someone loves and someone cares, and they're honoring me for what I have put into this industry. And so when I know that I can still stand with it, I can stand with it the test of time, and that I have stood within the test of time, and that people still are loving Freddie Jackson's music from old today to today. I get kids that come to my concert and telling me they're Tasty Love babies and telling me stories whenever they used to hear a record coming out of their mother and daddy's room. They'd be like, oh, Lord, they need to try to make another baby, Freddie Jackson baby making music. So I'm honored that I'm still prevalent in this industry. It makes me proud to know that when I get up to go and do this, to catch these airplanes and go from city to city, that I am providing a service for people that still believe that R&B is still alive, and I try to deliver that.
All right. Tell us about the new project. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to jump back and ask you a few more questions about all that baby-making music.
Okay.
What's the Freddie Jackson people going to hear on Love Signals? What are they going to hear that either reminds them of what used to be or point them into a new direction that maybe you're going?
Well, I sing a song called Find My Way. New direction is that through all of the stuff that's gone on in the industry and in my personal life, I lost a mother, I lost a sister, I lost a few people in my family. We go through the regular things like everybody else in the world do, but some people think, entertainer, and we don't cry, we don't do those other things that everybody else do. They hold us on this pedestal, but we don't get stressed out. So there was a point in my life, and you know, where I wasn't taking care of my health. I wasn't doing the thing that most guys should do, go to the doctor and get ourselves checked out because we're strong. And I wasn't paying attention to my body until my body started talking to me and saying, no, you need to take some time off if you want to live, to take care of you, Freddie. So I did that. So it was a point where I was at where I wasn't sure if I wanted or I needed to continue, because as you said, I have a body of work. And I'm grateful that radio has not forgotten Freddie Jackson. And so I'm still heard. I don't have to fight to hear Freddie Jackson record. Someone said, the new Jacks are fighting. You think that you're going through something, but a lot of the new Jacks are going through worse. So I'm honored that I'm still in it, and that's what keeps me fighting at this, and I'm proud to still be in this as I am.
We got to get ready to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about, you're very transparent about your health and the directions you had to decide to take care of you. When we come back, we want you to tell us what that looks like. What is a Freddie Jackson day looks like, and the decisions you had to make around health? So we talk to your fans to let them know you're well.
I'll be more than happy.
And ready.
I'll be back.
And then you got to tell them why you come to Atlanta to have the stage up. All right?
There we go.
Again, we got to take a break. Our special guest inside the studio is Freddie Jackson. Y'all know him. If you don't know him, you better ask your mom about him, because he's probably the reason to love, right? Your dad or somebody. He's probably a lot of the reason that many of you all are here. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. You know, this is the music of my generation. I'm 53 years old, so I know
Young
every
man.
Song, and looking forward to the concert. Fred, we're talking about just you.
Mm-hmm.
You had to make a decision after some health challenges that you wanted to take care of you. What did that look like? Because one of the things you know, this business can be very hard.
Yes, Lord.
You got to rip and run up the road. Everybody's pulling on you. Promoters, you know, you got to fight to get paid, and then you got to fight to, to make sure you hold on to what you have.
You sound like you know this very well.
Yeah, I've been around for a minute. Talk about how did you take care of Freddie Jackson? When did you have to make a decision? I got to start doing things differently.
I had to make life changes. I had to stop burning the candles at both ends. I had to shut off the TV. I had to shut off the music. I had to shut off the party. I had to shut off the drinking. I had to shut off the anything else that I was doing that I should not have been doing, and to say, what are you going to do, Freddie? Because I've seen so many of my camaraderies suffer from not being able to expose themselves to their truth, die. And I like life. I like Freddie Jackson. I love Freddie Jackson, and I love what it is that I have to offer. And I knew that I was at a point in my life where I had to make a decision. Either I can go on down the path of destruction and my legacy will still live on, yeah, or else I can grab the bull by the horn. I grabbed the bull by the horn. I went into the hospital. My kidneys were acting silly. My blood pressure was doing something totally different. I had lost too much weight. But I'm thinking, because I went on this crazy diet, and I was a 46 waist. I had gotten that big. And so now I was down to like a 32 waist. That's a lot of weight. Not taking care of, doing all the wrong things. I said, Freddie, if you want to continue to lost members of my family, stress, mourning could, you people could say, get over it, but it's not that easy. And I still mourn my mother's death to this day, but I've learned how to put it in a place that's more comfortable for me, because I believe in an afterlife, and I know that she will hug me and I will hold her again. I look forward to that. So I had to then just change my eating habits. You can catch me on Instagram. I'm on the treadmill. I'm giving advice to others about to people who feel that they can burn those candles at both ends. Okay, take care of you, because this industry will take care of you in another way if you don't. So I had to see the light, like E.F. Hutton. I heard a voice and say, what is it that you want, Freddie, that you're not receiving? And God gives me love every morning I wake up. I woke up to a blessed world, and I am in it. And so what I give, I know, is a blessing. And so I chose to free myself and my insides and clean it up. And I'm on a road of recovery, of feeling powerful. And the word is powerful. Greatness still lives in me. And I'm on and I'm popping right now.
Were there any times that you weren't certain that greatness was in you? What was those days
like? I had moments. You know, the industry can sometimes make you feel that you're no longer needed. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Stephanie Mills, and we was like, sometimes, don't they just make you feel like you're no longer needed? You know what I'm saying? And that's just true conversation.
Certainly.
Artist to artist.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. It is not that you want to be.
Right.
It's just that we are in ever-changing times. And so, like, I'm grateful, yes, that Freddie Jackson has played, but then there's still a battle to stay in the game, because they will excuse you really quick in this. And so she and I had that conversation, and I have suffered through that, saying, why am I fighting this hard? And I'm good at what it is that I do. I've been told, it's been shown, 11 number one records, 26 weeks in a row at a time, another record, 24 weeks at number one. I've proven that I am who I am. But the amazing thing is, sometimes you're not as good as you are until the next. And it's like, how do you outbeat the greatness that you've already laid? So then I start saying, well, Freddie, all I can do is my best, and to give the best of me. And when I came to that conclusion in my life, that's when I picked up my cross and walked out and said, hey, look, here it is. here I am. Follow me. Love me for who I am and what I have to offer. And that's the best that I can give. But if you're not strong enough, a good bridge looks good every now every now and then. You cross a bridge, you're like, let me out right here. You know, and that's denial. And that's something else that's pushing you that to a place where you really shouldn't be. Because the goodness lives in you, you know, but I'm blessed.
You mentioned your faith. You mentioned the cross. You're unapologetically about expressing it. Your foundation is in the church. How important is your spirituality? Because it easily intertwines into this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
How important is your faith in terms of you getting to a place where you're comfortable with self and comfortable with the work that you're doing?
There's an old gospel song. I still believe in that little red gospel hymnal book that used to be in the back of every church. They don't have them anymore. People are taking them home. But that little hymn book, and there's a song that says, "My faith looks up to thee." That's where my faith looks up to. Not in man, not in somebody to my left or my right, but my faith looks up, and that's what keeps me motivated and keep me going, to know that there's a higher being that lifts me up even when the world tears me down. That's what I have to hold on to.
What was the highest point? What has been the highest point? And we know the latter days should be even greater than the former, but when did you know Freddie Jackson was an undisputed champ of this music genre? At what point did you realize, I got stuff that's going to be around? This stuff is going to be around for a long time. This music is going to be around a long time.
I didn't even know what it meant to have a number one record, although I started out singing. My first job on the road as a background singer was with Harry Belafonte, singing Dayo. I was whispering and singing my note, and Harry taught us all that was working with him, first of all, to be gentlemen. Right. He said, because Freddie don't last you for anything that you do in your life. So he was, although I never knew my father, Harry Belafonte was one of those teachers for any young man that came along. So I'm blessed. And so when I learned that being me had to come from somewhere else, and I was blessed and I was honored to know that doing all of that, stepping the background, singing background for Melba Moore discovering me at a little club, getting up from my job as a word processing and stepping out on my faith and saying, now I want to be a singer, and taking that chance, that gumption to leave that 9-to-5 job and get away from that word processing, 100 words per minute, I took a risk and a chance. My mother was like, boy, are you crazy? You're supposed to retire off of a job. And I was like, no, mother, I got to sing.
Said, Mama, I want to sing.
Mama, I want to sing, you know? And I did it. And it made me feel proud the day I was able to take my mother into a place where I felt that she deserved to be. That was that first check, and I took care of Mama, was the day, the proudest as a man that I ever felt in my life.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about Melba Moore. You were singing in the club.
Oh, yeah.
Working as a word processor, 100 words a minute. Man. Melba Moore heard you, and she was just
screaming and hollering.
Like, I got to have you work with
Ludie Bell, Gussie Mae Jenkins, and Pearlie. She was just ridiculous.
All right, when we come back, we want you to tell us what that was like.
All right.
And 404-892-2703 is our number. We'll be back in a moment. Our special guest inside the studio is none other than the legendary Freddie Jackson. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. Again, our guest inside the studio. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to be seen.
I'm a fan. I mean, I'm one of them fans that have followed you down through the years.
Then you know it. You know Freddie Jackson.
There you go.
Yeah.
Talk about this chance meeting. Did you know Melba Moore was going to be in the audience when you were singing? Did you know her?
Paul Lawrence, of course, who wrote Rock Me Tonight, and we all came from the same church, Paul Lawrence and I. And Valerie Simpson and Nick Ashford.
Wow.
We were at the White Rock Baptist Church.
That church had to be rocking with all y'all in there.
White Rock was rocking. Okay. And yes, Ashford and Simpson ain't no mountain high now. Nothing. Me rocking for Old Town's sake.
There you go.
So, there was a rock at the Rock. So we all came from that foundation. And Melba Moore has started a company called Hush Productions, and Paul was one of the songwriters and producers for the company. And so, of course, I was in his group where Jam Tonight came from and other songs. And so he called me in the job and said, listen, you need to get up out of that word processor stuff. You need to sing, the world needs to hear you. You need to find yourself a room so I can bring some people. I booked the room. He brought Melba Moore to a club, ironically enough, on the east side of New York called Freddy's, right? I did two sets. First set. So I did the set, and I'm singing, and I knew she was coming, so, you know, I wore my finest and excited. Melba Moore is coming to see me. I'm singing Good Morning Heartache, which was one of the first songs on my first album. Good Morning Heartache. And this lady is like, I'm screaming, and I'm like, okay, she's a little cringe.
She's a little touched. She was excited about what she heard.
She was excited. And after that, I went on the road singing background for Melba. And she suddenly decided, I want to change my clothes in the middle of my show. How can I make a change and the show still go on? She used to call me Fredbo because she said my voice was like breakdancing all the time. Let Fredbo sing while I change my clothes. So the first time I did this for her, I get this, like, it was a madhouse. And so she came back on stage and looked at me and said, oh, well, you won't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
but I did. And so that was my meeting of Melba Moore. Thought she was crazy, but Lord knows, the advice that woman gave me has taught me how to do an interview and to be who I am today.
Where has this music taken you that the young boy Freddie Jackson could have never conceived you'd be standing there singing before an audience like this?
It took me to Wembley, 200,000 people singing for the Nelson Mandela Freedom Fest. Biggest audience I ever performed in front of my life. 200,000 in this Wembley Stadium, if you know it's the size of Wembley.
Oh, yeah.
So I walked out on stage and I almost froze. I said, but this is not the time to freeze. Astrid and Simpson was on the show. Natalie Cole, Sting. This list goes on and on. And in the midst of it, this little boy from 121st Street and 8th Avenue is standing here singing Rock Me Tonight and Jam Tonight. Free Nelson Mandela. Come on, the elation was incredible. The Prince Albert Hall Theater to perform there with George Michael. Come on, man. Back and forth to Africa. Japan. I did 35 shows in Japan in 3 weeks. I have dined with kings and queens. I have dined with the late Aretha Franklin every time she came to New York City for her birthday. Call Freddie. He's my guest. I sang at two of her birthday parties. To know that Aretha Franklin's favorite song was Tasty Love was like, I'm like, Aretha, Tasty Love? She said, well, the queen needs a little tasty love too. You know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's an honor. That's an honor for me.
You're in Atlanta. And
yes,
you're going to be hitting the stage with some other legendary folk, Peabo Bryson, who was with me just not long ago.
Oh, good.
And we've been praying for him. When they said he had a little scare, we were praying for him, so
man,
we're glad
Peabo
to see him back.
Peabo just needed a couple of days off. I said, see, Peabo, you didn't have to go
this
far
Peabo
for a couple of days off.
Peabo got a daughter that's just about a year old, so I don't
chasing that little girl around is what got him crazy. I knew what he had, I said, are you sure you're ready for this, Peabo? You're out of breath, getting off stage.
There you go.
But we laughed about that.
Y'all going to have a good time. We invite everybody out. Our audience is coming out to see you.
They're coming out. Howard Hewitt, Peabo Bryson, Freddie Jackson. I mean, whatever the order you want to put it in. But it's going to be a night under the stars with a lot of soul. So come on out and get your groove on for old time's sake.
Well, we want to know, F. Keith Slaughter, one of our hosts here, got a section. He got a whole section where he's been giving out tickets all along. So we're going to be right there just rocking and jamming. And,
Come on, feeling the fire and whatever else we got to do. But it's going to be a nice, we've been doing dates together for years now, and we have a brothership. Jeffrey is also with us sometimes, and it's just magical because you get sometimes all four of us on stage at the same time. It's like the Rat Pack is reliving.
Now, I got to ask you, you know, because I was reading your previous interview, some of your previous interviews. Mm-hmm. During your heyday, mm-hmm. You and Luther were considered to be, we didn't know who to like best. You, Luther, when you came out with a new project, we like you. When Luther came out with something, talk about Luther. I mean, obviously, another one who, by the work, will be here a long time. He's been gone.
Everybody. Let me tell you, Luther and I was buddies. We really kind of liked.
Come on, Fred, it's me you're talking to. Y'all didn't have no real rivalry going on.
Luther and I was cool. we would play pranks on each other like. If he went into Tiffany's, I was in Tiffany's, he would tell the guards, watch out, Freddie Jackson is in the store. He's slippery. We played with each other. And the first time I met Luther, I was standing at the La Balazs Hotel, nominated for a Grammy. He knocked on my door. I opened up the door. It was Luther Vandross standing there. And so I said, oh, my God, come in. He says, no, I don't want to come in. Because, you know, Luther had arrogance about him. He says, no, I don't want to come in. I said, okay, well, then stand there, right? And so he says, I just want to give you this card and say, break a leg. I said, thank you. He says, no, I really mean break your legs, okay? He says, you've come too close. We laughed, but we used to stage things at different parties and say, did you see the expression on this one's face? And so when Luther passed, I was upset, but I was like, oh, man, I ain't got nobody to play with now because Luther sold a million. I sold a million.
I'm giving Fred Jackson the opportunity to put together the ultimate concert in Rat Pack. You got to pick four.
Got to pick four.
Gone or still here with us.
Oh, boy.
You could pick four, put them together with you for one night only.
One night
back at Wembley Field with 200,000. Who are you going to bring with you, female?
I would bring Luther Vandross. It would be Luther Vandross, Freddie Jackson. It would be Jeffrey Osborne, and it would be Babyface.
I'll buy that ticket any day of the week.
Yep, it most certainly would be.
Freddie Jackson, we love you, man.
And I love you back.
And we want you to keep giving us great music.
Thank you so much.
Produce some more babies for us, okay?
Oh, well, y'all got that.
It's Love Signals. Y'all check out the new project, Love Signals. Freddie Jackson, come out to the concert. And thank you for stopping by and being just sharing your story with us,
it's
brother.
It's my pleasure to tell my side of the story.
And you know you're always welcome here in Atlanta.
I appreciate it.
All right. Look, that'll wrap it up for us. Thank y'all so much. We appreciate you for listening. Thank you, Freddie, for stopping by.
It's an honor.
And I'm going to tell you, like Luther said, break a leg. Not literally, but have a great concert. We know it's going to be a great show. Howard Hewitt, Freddie Jackson, and Peabo Bryson going to headline it, and it's going to be a great show. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be back. News and Talk 1380 WALK.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.